Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning. Welcome to Racing Across America on a Sunday morning. I'm Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. Happy to have you on board today. We'll take a look at a little bit of the stakes action from yesterday, do a little handicapping as well, all on a Sunday morning edition of Racing Across America. Let's start things out by thanking our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship of this program, some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB during the championship meet. Always appreciate our friends down at Gulfstream and their sponsorship of, as I say, some of the programming and events here. So thanks for their support. Championship meet rolling until April 3rd. So looking forward, hopefully our game plan is to return to Florida after a couple of years off with the pandemic, but hopefully game plan is to be back down for the Florida Derby this year. So looking forward to seeing all our friends down there in person in a few months. Looking forward to that, as I say. Speaking of Gulfstream, going back to Friday, if you watched OTB Live, there was two races I was excited about on Friday. Drain the Clock returned at Gulfstream, and Nashville at Oaklawn. Nashville, a little bit disappointing. We talked about that a little bit with Nancy Holthus yesterday. The storyline may have been Ricardo Santana was on the winner, and he had ridden Nashville, but he and Steve Asmussen have not parted ways is not the right word. He's just riding a little bit less for Asmussen over the past couple of months, and Santana was on a little, and Asmussen, on a little bit of a cold streak at Churchill a couple of months ago, and so Santana hops on board another horse, Hollis, and just absolutely ran huge in there, and I want to say track record, if I'm not mistaken, for Hollis, but Hollis ran huge, Nashville second, a long layoff for Nashville, so we'll see what that one does next. But also on Friday, Drain the Clock for Safi Joseph. Drain the Clock, on the other hand, was spectacular. Fast race, fast time, and he had to duel all the way down the stretch with another rival, and he held that one safe under the wire. I've subsequently read it was a 94 buyer, solid buyer for the comeback for Drain the Clock. So again, a couple of nice races for a Friday afternoon. Drain the Clock lives up to the billing. Nashville disappoints a little bit, but it took a track record to beat Nashville. As I say, we'll see where Nashville goes next. Also want to remind you, today here at the Clubhouse Racebook, as always on Sundays, it's a football Sunday. So if you'd like to swing on down and enjoy all the racing action and all the football action, again, that happens throughout the NFL season here on Sunday afternoons. Clubhouse Racebook, 7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany. If you've never been down, I mention this every once in a while, if you've never been down, they're super conveniently located. You hop on I-90, get off the Everett Road exit, come over to Central Avenue, take a left, and we're pretty much right there, right in the ShopRite complex. ShopRite on one side, we're on the other. So stop down. Clubhouse Racebook, again, 7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany. All right, let's take a look at some of the stakes action from yesterday, not only here, but we'll take a break in a few minutes and come back and look at those Hong Kong races that we talked about yesterday as well. But first, we'll concentrate coast to coast here in America. Yesterday in New York, the feature race was the Garland of Roses for the ladies going six furlongs. I like Glass Ceiling in here. Glass Ceiling in the prior start had been a close-up second in the Pumpkin Pie behind Lady Rocket. Lady Rocket subsequently wins the Gopher Juan with a 106 buyer. So Glass Ceiling comes in good form, flattered by the subsequent performance by the horse that she had just missed with last time, and Glass Ceiling validates those thoughts. Betting public making Glass Ceiling the 8-5 favorite under Dylan Davis. Glass Ceiling will be the number two horse. This is some late run from Glass Ceiling. Just kind of wears him down. Chart margin winds up being a 2.25 chart margin, so kind of pulls away a little bit. Call on Mischief at 10-1 completes the exacta, and Let Me Take This Call runs third in there. So you had a couple of prices underneath as far as exacta and triple. But the favorite again at 8-5, Glass Ceiling, does get it done for Charlton Baker and company. As I say, Dylan Davis on board. Solid run in the Garland of Roses for Glass Ceiling, which, as I said, Lady Rocket and the subsequent performance from her kind of flattered Glass Ceiling, but now Glass Ceiling also helps to flatter Lady Rocket a little bit. That's an up-and-comer on the scene also, Lady Rocket, but Glass Ceiling looking good on Saturday in the Garland of Roses. Let's move on. The feature at Gulfstream on Saturday was the Mr. Prospector. Three-year-olds and up going 7 furlongs, grade 3 event, $100,000 up for grabs. This was a race, and if you watched yesterday during the afternoon show, I said that there was nobody in here that was jumping off the page to me. And when we did the handicapping show earlier in the morning, Brian Addo kind of had the same feeling. The horses who were likely favorites just had some holes in them. Brian, I believe, took the shot with Flapjack in here. I took a little shot with Wind of Change. We were, you know, won the battle, lost the war. We had the right idea. The logical horses, the horses logical from the betting public, you know, didn't get it done. It was a little bit of an upset, just had the wrong horse. It winds up to be number 7, as you can see here, officiating. Late run from Endorsed, who did wind up being the 9-5 favorite, the number 4 horse. Makes it maybe a little bit interesting for a while. You could tell by the time they got here, though, officiating was going to hold on. Endorsed second. Dennis's Moment, the second choice at 5-2, runs third. But again, Endorsed, as Brian said yesterday, not a win machine going down the page a ways. And Dennis's Moment, yeah, won the last race to kind of make you think, maybe Dennis's Moment is back. But it was a 92 buyer. So there were things on the top two favorites that were, you can roll in another direction. As I said, I just rolled the wrong way. But if you did make that move and picked up officiating, you got it done. Officiating Safi Joseph, Luis Saez, 7-1. So you got $16.80 there. Favored underneath gave you, what, a $55 and change exacta. So a nice little exacta. With Endorsed underneath, but you had to come up with officiating. Now, had come off a synthetic try last time that was a little bit of a dud, but prior to that had been in an off-the-turf stakes race down at Gulfstream and had run pretty well, although the buyer number was a little bit light. But, again, it was a race where, in fact, all of officiating's numbers were probably a little bit lighter than you might have if you were looking at the buyers and pulling that into the handicapping puzzle. A little bit lighter than were going to be necessary to get it done on Saturday. I think that's why you got your 7-1. But again, there was that win 2 back over the track, that, and it was Safi Joseph and Luis Saez. So there were some things to like. And again, it was a race where I think you could have made a little case for searching around and going for an alternative in there. So officiating gets it done, which helped pulled up. And let me see if I can quickly, because I had Mike Welch's Twitter, yeah, here it is. Mike from Mike Welch's Twitter account at the end of the day yesterday. KC Chief won the finale at Gulfstream, and we were sitting in the studio, and I said, I think, because before the race they had listed, there was 3 horses that were potential singles in the Rainbow Six, and I said, I think the winner is one of those horses, and sure enough, at 14-1, KC Chief wires the finale, so some lucky better of the Rainbow Six yesterday walks away with $407,000. That is a great day at the racetrack. So congratulations to whoever managed to come down with that very, very, very nice ticket in the Rainbow Six yesterday. So they start over down in Florida as far as the Rainbow, but it is the one venue where that jackpot bet doesn't take more than a week or so to start getting back up into the, you know, the $400,000, $500,000 area. We'll see how it goes. But, again, they love the Rainbow down there. Other venues, it has been kind of popular, but nowhere near as popular as down in South Florida. And it's funny, those the Pick 6 overall has always, in its history, had venues. The Pick 6 originally, the standard pick six that we think of was always kind of huge out in California. A little less so, but still popular in New York. Other venues, it just never really took off. Subsequently, when the pick five came out at a little bit of a lesser increment, the pick six lost a little bit of its luster. And Southern California has experimented with kind of a hybrid that includes a jackpot, and a traditional. New York has gone back to the traditional after trying the jackpot, but at a $1 increment. So things have changed. The pick five kind of changed the landscape a little bit too, but it's always been interesting that the pick six, whether the traditional or the jackpot, has had the venues where, as I say, the traditional California and New York was pretty good, not so much other places, and the jackpot, Southern Florida Gulfstream, it has always been huge. Other places, it's been, you know, hit or miss. Not nearly as popular, though, as down in Florida. All right, let's move on as we look at yesterday's action. The feature race at Oaklawn yesterday, the Poinsettia, talked a little bit about that with Nancy Holthus yesterday. I like Superstock coming off of the win in Zia Park and the Zia Park Derby, but maybe more importantly, had won the Arkansas Derby earlier this year, and I mentioned yesterday, it was a fun story, one of the real fun stories of 2021. Steve Asmussen's father has a facility down in Texas. They break horses, they'll sell them. They wanted to sell this horse, but with the pandemic, things just, the sale they wanted to go to, I think didn't happen, was the story. But they wound up saying, let's keep the horse. So they keep the horse. The career starts. Steve Asmussen's son, Keith, rides the horse to begin the career and wins a little stakes race down at Lone Star. Then subsequently, they think, let's go over and take our shot at the Grade 1 $1 million Arkansas Derby. They win that. So it's Steve training for his mother and father, who are part owners of the horse, and it was a fun story, scene in the winner's circle after the Arkansas Derby down at Oaklawn this year, and we asked Steve about that. Had a great interview, which will be part of the Christmas Day best of that you can see here on the network, but had a fun extended interview up at Saratoga with Steve Asmussen, which included conversation about his record-setting performance just at that time, couple weeks before, where he got the all-time win mark up at Saratoga. So we hit it. He was probably sat with us for 25 minutes or so, and really kind of covered a lot of things, but talked about how fun it was to win the Arkansas Derby for his parents. And again, that'll be on Christmas Day. As always on Christmas Day, no racing in America. And so here on the network, we put together kind of a best of some of the interviews we've done throughout the year, Saratoga in particular, and pretty much all Saratoga, obviously, because we have people sitting right next to us. But check it out on Christmas Day. If, in between the turkey and the stuffing or the ham, whatever you're having for Christmas Day and football games or whatnot, you can flip over here to the network and watch some of, as I say, the best of. There's Steve Asmussen, and I saw the lineup and did some intros to him, and a really great lineup of guests we had throughout the season up at Saratoga this year, and clicked in a lot of the highlights there. So it'll be a nice way to kind of spend some time if you'd like to on Christmas Day here on the network. All right, at Oaklawn in the Poinsettia, Superstock, the number four, was, as I say, the Arkansas Derby winner, but at 4-1 is the fourth choice. Last Samurai, the number one horse, gets it done under John Court. You can see kind of getting up here along with Superstock. Superstock in the middle. Kind of thought Superstock was going to push on by. Just couldn't do it. Flash of Mischief runs third. And you can see as they get the final strides, Last Samurai kind of pulls away. Chart margin is 3/4 of a length. It was Dallas Stewart for owner Willis Horton. As I say, John Court on board. I've been saying it going back really to the beginning of the year. Dallas, you go back to the fairgrounds, Dallas has put together a really, really nice 2021. And he had a nice little recent Churchill meet. He kicked it off, I want to say, opening day. He had 3 winners on opening day, if I'm not mistaken. So Dallas Stewart, who may have been one of our interviews on the highlights as well. I'm not, but he was on the original list as we tried to pare things down a little bit. So I'm not sure whether Dallas wound up in there or not, but we did interview him up at Saratoga this year. But again, had a really nice 2021, and this just adds to it. Puts the poinsettia on the resume with Last Samurai over Superstock in there yesterday at Oak Lawn Park. All right, let's move on. I always say it. You like to watch the watch and follow the two-year-olds this time of year, coast to coast, because there is obviously the potential for what will happen next year. Not even next year, what will happen within the next month, because all the thoroughbreds turn three when the calendar changes to January 1st, and that's when we start thinking Kentucky Derby. If you're not thinking about it already, we already had the first Derby future pool. But we came into yesterday with a two-year-old race out in Southern California, Grade 2 Los Al Futurity. This, of course, used to be the old Hollywood Futurity. There's no Hollywood anymore. This time of year, they get a little brief stint at Los Al before they move over to Santa Anita the day after Christmas. The favorite and overwhelming favorite yesterday was Messier for Bob Baffert. Bob Baffert has won this race a number of times, and so it's logical that he brings in a talented runner, and that one gets favored. Messier was coming off a second in debut right here at Los Al in June. Then at Santa Anita broke the maiden going six. At Del Mar won the Bob Hope going seven. So he's stretching to two turns for the first time. Messier going to be the number three horse. Slow Down Andy is number five. Messier goes by here as Slow Down Andy. Kind of runs a little greenly maybe. But Slow Down Andy late continues on, pushes on by. Chart margin winds up to be a length. 5-1, Slow Down Andy wins. Messier runs second. Barossa runs third. So Baffert second and third. But Doug O'Neill wins for Redham Racing. Reading a little follow-up info on this race this morning. Slow Down Andy broke the maiden in the debut in October in a state-bred maiden special, then went into a state-bred stake at Del Mar and ran a close-up second. So a win, a second, and two starts. 5.5 furlongs, 7 furlongs, was stretching out to two turns for the first time yesterday in the third start. That's an angle I kind of like. So it goes out for Redham Racing and Doug O'Neill. As a cowbred, they had an opportunity. There was a stake today that the horse could have gone in, and they took a close look at it. From reading the article, they were kind of going back and forth, and Redham himself said, you know, let's take the shot. Everybody thought I was crazy, but let's take the shot in the Grade 2, and they get it done with the cowbred by Nyquist. And so Nyquist, of course, for the same connections, Derby, and has gone on to be a nice sire. So Redham, in the article, was quoted as saying that was just icing on the cake, that my sire gets it done as well. The homebred, Slow Down Andy. And also, the name's kind of interesting. Slow Down Andy, I guess, is a friend that is a golfer who plays a little too fast. They said he goes out and he hits out a turn, and it just, you know, we try to get him. And so I named the horse to kind of give him the hint that when we're out on the golf course, hey, Slow Down Andy. So the name has a little bit of a meaning as well. But we'll see what happens going forward. Again, as far as watching two-year-olds, you would think with these connections, they will certainly, cowbred or no, and cowbred opportunities, they'll now be taking some shots to see do they continue along the Derby trail. There is, of course, that very potent Derby trail out in Southern California, leading not just eventually to the Kentucky Derby, but prior to that, to the Santa Anita Derby. Lots of opportunities. And, you know, obviously around the country, the opportunity to ship around as well. But Slow Down Andy now with the third start, two-turn win under the belt. Clearly, they will have some Kentucky Derby thoughts. We will see how those hold up over the next few months. All right, now I wanted to go back and show a race from last weekend, because I always say it when I'm in here doing the afternoon show. We always like to root for the locals, local connections, local owners, and one of our favorites. We had Ed Fizzone on with us up in Saratoga. He owns Eddie F's in Saratoga, which I highly recommend if you like that seafood shack food that you normally get up in Maine or New Hampshire on the coast, you can get it right in Saratoga at Eddie Epps. Unfortunately, I think you can check. This was their last week, I think. So I'm not sure whether that includes the weekend. They may be done, though, and they'll come back in February. They always take kind of a little break at the end of the year, beginning of the year, but they're back in February, so that's not too far away. But if you like fried clams and lobster, I'm all about that. Lobster rolls, chowder, Eddie F's up in Saratoga, great spot. But Eddie also an owner, and you can see the Eddie F's silks and horses running fairly regularly down in New York. Gary Siaka trains, and they had two, not only two, but they had two siblings going in the New York Stallion Series last Sunday. And if you were watching during OTB Live, we certainly talked about this and enjoyed the race. But I wanted to pull it up if you didn't get a chance to see it, because, again, local connections, kind of fun. So Eddie F's has the number 11 Lobster and the number 5 Chowder. And as we see him going in the turn, they're kind of duking it out with each other. And I'm sure if you're an owner, you kind of like to see them out in front, but you don't want them to kind of push each other to the brink. And subsequently, Chowder kind of fades a little bit, and you wonder, oh, Lobster, the number 11 horse, will the starch have been taken out of that one? The big favorite at 3-2, My Boy Tate, the number 4 horse, comes up and goes by Lobster, and there you think, well, it's going to be a good second anyway, and that's pretty good at 28-1. But then Lobster says, oh, no, I'm going to win this one. Lobster pushes back on by and gets it done. The chart margin a half a length over the 3-2 favorite at a $58 mutual. Lobster gets it done for locally based Eddie F's Racing. So congratulations to the Eddie F's folks. Chowder wound up a decent little fourth in there as well. So they pick up a check also with that one, but it was a really nice performance from Lobster. You know, you're out there dueling, then the big favorite comes up and pushes on by, and you think, as I said, oh, okay, you were getting the feeling in the eighth pole, still going to be a good second, but then pushes right on by to get it done, as I say, at a nice mutual, winning the New York Stallion Series last Sunday. That's why I wanted to show Sunday, so we didn't get a chance to watch the replay last week. And reading the follow-up article, it was kind of interesting. They have another sibling, Lobster and Chowder. Again, they are siblings, both out of the damn salty little sis. And they subsequently have another one called Oyster that will turn 2 in January. So maybe we'll see that one a little bit later on in the year. And there was another sibling that, unfortunately, they said we couldn't get. That had run earlier on the card at Aqueduct as well. But they have Lobster, Chowder, and Oyster coming up to look forward to. So that should be fun. As I say, we always like to root for the locals. All right, that takes you through the stakes races kind of coast to coast yesterday. But as I said, we'll take a break and we'll come back. Yesterday with our friend Dick Powell, we kind of talked about and previewed the Hong Kong International races, which put an exclamation point on Group 1 international racing every December out in Hong Kong. 4 stakes races yesterday. And again, we previewed those yesterday, so I thought we would, last night, I should say, it wasn't yesterday, it was after midnight, so earlier today, actually, in Hong Kong, the international races. So we'll take a look at those 4 stakes right after this. Stay tuned.
To find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing, Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region? Tell them, Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku, try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. And as they say, speaking of Sunday morning, Hong Kong International races were actually Sunday morning. They went off, I think first post there was at like 11 o'clock our time last night. The first post of the big stakes races was at 1 a.m. our time. Obviously, it was in the afternoon over there in Hong Kong. But again, these stakes races were between like 1 and 3 a.m. This morning. But we have pulled up the replays for you, and we'll kind of go in chronological order here. The fourth race at Sha Tin yesterday was the Hong Kong Vase. We had talked about this one, as I say, with Dick Powell yesterday, and he tossed out and talked a little bit about Glory Vase in the Hong Kong Vase. Pile Driver, obviously, was going to take some action as well and was logical. And I liked Ibera, if I'm coming close to pronouncing that. Christophe Soumillon was on board that one. And that's how it comes under the wire. Glory Vase, Pile Driver, Ibera. 2-1-8, the results here. Glory Vase coming out of a third-place finish over in Japan most recently. Joe Maria, I'm clearly not pronouncing the name correctly, but one of the more prominent jockeys there, and you get him on board, you're in good shape. Glory Vase, you can see, pushing on by on the outside here with Pile Driver holding on the inside. And again, these were pretty logical results. We're looking at $3.70 on the winner. You wound up with a $2 Quinella, $6 and change. So again, it was a kind of, it was logical most of the night there in Hong Kong, but it was Glory Vase getting it done in the Hong Kong Vase. We move on now to the Hong Kong Sprint. We're going to kind of pick this up a little bit later because there was a spill in the race, and a few of the horses that went down were actually horses that were likely players in the event. But it winds up being number 8, Skyfield. That one is a locally based runner. Has been racing at Sha Tin on the page I have here, going back, what, 5 races on my PPs. But that one does get it done. And again, as I say, it was mostly logical last night. But this one offered a little bit of a price, with Skyfield paying $44 and change. You wound up with a $1 Quinella of over $320. So there was a little bit there. Resist Enica. Again, I'm sure listening to the call, there would be a much more fluid pronunciation there. But that one runs second. Courier Wonder runs third. Blake Shin on board, another kind of prominent international jockey on board there. The race that was going to be kind of fun to watch, and I labeled Golden 60 yesterday when I was talking with Dick. I labeled that one undefeated at 10 for 10. And the PPs I printed up had 10 for 10. Subsequently reading and looking at the PPs, I touted folks yesterday, go to the Hong Kong International Races website, and they had a nice package, a PDF package, that had the PPs there. And it was a little more extensive. So I misspoke. I was going by the PPs here that say 10 for 10 lifetime. Not undefeated, pretty close. He was 18 for 19 going in yesterday. And so Golden 60, still a lot of fun to see what this one could do. I think the streak yesterday was up to maybe 16 straight races. And yes, in the Hong Kong Mile, it is Golden 60 getting it done to run the record to 19 for 20. More than this runs second, and Selyos runs third in here, but Golden 60, just really a phenomenal runner. Golden 60 is going to be the number one horse. And you can see pushing on by there, the white with the yellow cap, and opens up on the field. One of the articles I read said there's just not a horse like him with the kick in that last quarter mile. And he showed it there, getting it done very, very nicely. But again, continuing kind of the trend of logicals and short prices, $2.60 on the win end of things. If you played the Quinella, though, for a couple of bucks, you got $33. So to turn, particularly with the Quinella, to turn a $2.60 horse into a $33 horse, that was a pretty good move. More than this, again, coming in underneath there as a local runner from, running at Sha Tin pretty regularly. And finally, we wound things up, as I say, at about 3:30 a.m., earlier this morning, much early this morning. It was the Hong Kong Cup. And Dick yesterday kind of touted us on the winner again. I pulled up a replay from Bolshoi Ballet when we talked yesterday, having won the Belmont Derby Invitational earlier this year. It was a horse from Aidan O'Brien that was familiar to us. But I could have pulled up Dick's horse, Loves Only You, also familiar to us, because this one became the first Japanese horse to win a Breeders' Cup, won the Distaff last month down at Del Mar, and Loves Only You follows that up. Filly facing the boys, obviously in the Distaff at the Breeders' Cup, she was facing her own sex, but coming out of that Breeders' Cup win, she goes over to Hong Kong, faces the boys. Loves Only You is going to be the number 12 horse, and we'll get it done here on an international kind of a sojourn. Breeders' Cup at Del Mar, goes over to Hong Kong and wins that. I mean, that's some way to wind up the year. I'm going to be interested to see when the latest international horse rankings come out, where this horse is going to rank. That is some nice performance. Just edges Hishi Iguzu, running second, and Russian Emperor runs third in there. But Loves Only You does get it done in the follow-up to the Breeders' Cup Distaff. That's, as I say, nice exclamation point on the season for that one, with a couple of huge grade or group one international races to stick on the resume. So that takes you through the action last night at Sha Tin in Hong Kong. Hong Kong international races, as I say, always at the end of the year, putting an exclamation point on top group one type racing around the globe. All right, we'll take another break. When we come back, I will do a little handicapping for this afternoon, maybe give some ideas. Maybe the late pick five at Oaklawn. The first few days at Oaklawn, if you've been looking at the one sheet, the selections have been okay. We'll see if we can keep it rolling down in Arkansas and give you some ideas right after this. Stay tuned.
Clubhouse Racebook is the Capital Region's new home for racing and sports. 25,000 square feet of Vegas-style action with live wagering on the best horse racing from around the world. 260 flat-screen televisions and state-of-the-art wagering terminals. So don't miss out. The fun is only minutes away at 711 Central Avenue, Albany, just off Exit 5 of I-90. And don't forget, if you can't make it to the clubhouse, you can always wager online 24/7 at CapitalOTB.com.
Welcome back. Sunday morning, Racing Across America. Don't forget, we will be back in, an hour and a half or so to kick off an OTB Live for Sunday afternoon, taking a look at a little Gulfstream, a little Aqueduct, and a little Oaklawn. But we'll give you a preview of Oaklawn. Again, too early for scratches, so keep that in mind. But let's kind of go over the late pick five sequence down at Oaklawn and toss out some ideas there. The pick bets, I think, offer a lot of value down there at Oaklawn. And if you can figure out the Arkansas Bred races, you're even better. But let's take a look, as I say, at that sequence. The fifth race at Oaklawn kicks off the late pick five today, and we'll go off our time at about 3:20 in the fifth race at Oaklawn. Conditional claimer going 8.5 furlongs. I have it 4, 8, 9, and 2. The 4 is Spicetown again. It's Robertina Diodoro off the claim. By the time we get to the end of this meet, Diodoro is going to have some really solid numbers. And he's a guy who plays the claiming game very well. And they play it at the top level down there at Oaklawn. The claim box is on fire. They claimed this horse at Churchill last time. Didn't run that well. Now they take a little step down the claiming ladder. I think they're going to wind up with a clever claim here and a good move as far as where they are class-wise. So I'll put that one on top. Second slot, wherever he is, the number 8 horse. This horse has been racing down at Delta Downs. Last was seen in Maiden Special Company, breaking the maiden. Now comes back for a 20 N2L. Again, I think this horse is going to match up nicely class-wise. Did take 8 starts to break the maiden, but did it in Maiden Special Company. Seems to be maybe moving in the right direction. One of those horses that just took a while to kind of figure it out and then did so last time and maybe strings a couple of nice performances together. Assumption in the third spot. I'm never enamored with horses coming in from Mahoning or Thistledown, but there was one of those, the one at Oaklawn, I want to say Oaklawn, it may have been Florida yesterday or the day before, but there was a horse who came in that didn't even look that good from the Ohio circuit and got it done at a price. This one, on the other hand, I think looks okay, coming in most recently from Mahoning, before that Thistledown, a couple of second place finishes, and they were in Allowance Company. Another one that I think is going to class up okay in here. Has had one start at Oaklawn previously, and it wasn't much, but it was over a muddy track back in April. I think the two most recent races seem to indicate this horse is maybe in kind of career best form right now, so it could be a player as well. Chase Tracker at 15-1, I think. If you're looking for one to play around with, the Nick Zito trainee, I think stacks up okay with these. You look at the numbers, this horse 15-1 on the morning line, and the finishing positions, I think, are validating that morning line price. But the buyer numbers match up pretty nicely with this field. So if you do get a price on Chase Tracker, yeah, maybe that's one to look around at as well. All right, the sixth race at Oaklawn this afternoon. Maiden Special, 2-year-olds going 6. And again, this is kind of the interesting portion of this current Oaklawn meet with the early start. They get some 2-year-old racing down there. $84,000 up for grabs for these maidens. They're going to go 6 furlongs. I have it 5, 6, 9, and 7. I think you can make a case for the 1 as well. A firster by Hardspun, trained by Brad Cox. 5-2 on the morning line. And if this horse really starts to take some action, I may regret putting this horse down in the essentially the also mentioned box as I have it in the 5th spot. There are a couple of workouts that are okay. So Masai Warrior, the 1, as I say, I may regret the lower position I put it in. But Treaty on top for me. 20-1 on the morning line. Off the debut, okay. They debuted for a maiden claiming tag, but $150,000. So you're flirting with maiden special. Not a lot of people are going to jump in and pick horses up for $150,000. This horse didn't do much running that day, but adds the blinkers, comes back with a first-time gelding symbol. By Violence, Love Violence as a sire of win early types. But more importantly, there were some nice siblings, including Bulletin, the dam-produced Bulletin, who, if you may remember from just recently, just going back, 3 years, Bulletin won the first three starts of the career, all stakes races, and that included the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint back in 2018. So I thought there was some very nice win early from Treaty. I betting public is, I think, too clever to let this one get away at that morning line price. I think with only the one race under the belt, which wasn't inspiring, it will make people shy away. I think we will get some value. I'll take the 20-1. I don't think we're going to get that, though. But Treaty, interesting to me. Deputy Connect. Again, the Brad Cox runner on the rail on the morning line is taking the action. We'll see what the betting public winds up doing. But I like Connect as a sire of win early types. So Brad Cox and a little bit of that win early breeding between the two first-time starters from Brad Cox, I'll tilt towards Deputy Connect. Bet He's Ready, second-time starter from Steve Asmussen that showed speed in debut before fading at Churchill. But again, there's a little bit of win early breeding. Asmussen horses can often show very nice improvement in their second career starts. I'll count on that for that one. And Robert's Ghost, another Asmussen runner. This one, a first-time starter, also seems intriguing to me. Fun race, and the race that maybe will help add some value to that late pick five. I have it 5, 6, 9, and 7. But again, I'm going to be interested to see where the betting public goes on the one as well. Seventh race at Oaklawn this afternoon. Here we go. This is a state bred race, and these Arkansas bred races are skull busters. But this one, the Arkansas bred maiden races really are skull busters. This one, at least, there's resumes to go with here. State bred optional claimer with a calendar condition. 4, 6, 10, and 3 for me. I'll put Tempt Fate on top. Most recently has been at Delta Downs. That was off a break from May to November. So hopefully walks out of that one with some fitness to get back to Oaklawn, where this horse has run well in the past, having won some state bred stakes races at the end of last season down at Oaklawn, and has a really great Oaklawn record overall. 8 starts at Oaklawn, 5 wins a second, 2/3. So Tempt Fate does seem kind of logical in here. Man in the Can also, pretty good Oaklawn record, 4 exacta finishes and 7 starts over this track. Also coming in from out of town most recently tried the turf at Remington. And number-wise ran okay, but the most of the career has been on dirt for trainer Ron Maquette. Getting back to Oaklawn, this one I think will be competitive with this bunch. And then Heritage Park, another one we'll see if we get the morning line. 10-1 looks really generous for this one. Yet another horse that has a really good record here at Oaklawn, 7 times in the money with 4 wins and 10 starts, comes in off a win most recently at Prairie Meadows. Now, most recently being back in July, that's the knock on this horse, the layoff, but does have some workouts showing underneath. Now, they're kind of well spaced, so we'll see. Maybe the horse will need a race, but tends to show some early speed. Competitive. If you look at the state bred races, very competitive. Again, if this one holds up at that 10-1, I think that price becomes very attractive. But in the seventh race for me, 4, 6, 10, and 3. Eighth race this afternoon at Oaklawn. It is yet another optional claimer, this one with a money condition, 3/4 of a mile the trip. I have a 3, 1, 4, and 5. Sarah Harper on top, 8-5 on the morning line, and I think we'll take a lot of action in here. Three-time starter, two-time winner. The two wins were at Churchill. The debut was up at Saratoga, ran third for trainer Ron Maquette. The subsequent two starts down at Churchill, maiden breaker, expensive, you know, $125,000 purse, allowance victor. Both of those were with absolutely solid upper 80 buyer figures, so lightly raced. Numbers are moving in the right direction. Seems logical. Time limit for Mike Maker underneath for me. Most of the recent races have been on the turf. The horse has been very competitive, firing numbers that match up nicely with this field. The question mark is the return to dirt, but the dirt races underneath are okay as well. So I don't think the surface switch is going to be any kind of a big obstacle, and so that makes this horse a player. Break curfew in the third spot. This one, on the other hand, probably has to step up a little bit number-wise, but comes in from Churchill, and it's, again, the venue move I have kind of liked at this current Oaklawn meet. Perfect happiness. Brad Cox, another horse coming in from Churchill. These two, Break Curfew and Perfect Happiness, probably could have flip-flopped them. I'm right about the same level of confidence, but I suppose with Brad Cox, maybe I could have moved Perfect Happiness up a little bit. In pick bets, I probably would lean on Sarah Harper, but if you're looking for alternatives and you're going a little deeper, boy, the four and the five to me, as I say, are kind of evenly matched. But in the eighth at Oaklawn, I have a 3, 1, 4, and 5. We wrap things up at Oaklawn on Sunday afternoon, about quarter after 5 our time. The ninth race, it is a money allowance, $100,000 purse. Mile and a 16th, the trip in the ninth at Oaklawn. I have it 9, 10, 7, and 2. We will put Misty Vale on top. Goes out for Tommy Amos off a couple of tries at Churchill. The last was a little bit uninspiring, but the race two back was pretty good. The horse, overall, I would say, tends to show some early speed. Didn't show it last time for whatever reason. That may have played into the effort that was maybe a little bit disappointing. So let's look for this one from the nine post to have a good, as my friend Brian Nettle says, outside attack post position, and maybe make the most of that early speed this afternoon for Tommy Amos and Maggie Moss. Flippin' Fast is lightly raced, comes in for Phil D'Amato from Southern California. I just kind of like the venue move, but I think overall this horse fits. A little turf to dirt move this afternoon should be beneficial. And Little King's Princess in the third spot. Started the career on the turf, switched over to the dirt in the last couple of starts, and last time broke through with a main breaker that was a lifetime best buyer. So this one maybe just has found the surface that she prefers now in the last couple of starts. And if we get back to that last effort or move forward a little from it, should fit in nicely with this group. So in the ninth at Oaklawn, 9, 10, 7, and 2. That takes you through the late pick 5 at Oaklawn. And again, there weren't any scratches up yet, so we'll adjust that later on this afternoon during OTB Live when we'll have looked at and noted the scratches for this afternoon. But that gives you an idea on the late pick 5, where, again, I think there's some opportunities to maybe add some real nice value to the ticket. And those picks at Oaklawn tend to pay nicely and have some value somewhere. And the early pick 4, I think it was yesterday, paid almost $500. And I thought, man, that was a really playable sequence. Let's take a look at some news. Woodbine wrapped up their season. This is amazing to me. Woodbine, here's the headline from the Daily Racing Forum. Woodbine sees third highest handle in 2021. What's notable about that? With COVID, they had the late start this year. They didn't start racing until June 12th. They were originally scheduled for 133 dates. It wound up being 99. That was three more than last year, but still significantly less than previous. And you wind up with the third best handle. To me, absolutely incredible. And we always enjoy our trips up to Woodbine. They do a great job. I think they put on a great product. I think that main turf course, and they've added the extra turf course, means a lot of turf racing. That means you get nice field size. You get washed off the turf. You go to a synthetic, so the field size maintains. So I think they've made some good moves over the past few years, but that turf course does lend itself to really fun racing. People love to bet the turf races. And so with the two turf courses up there and that big main turf, I told you, I was up there. The first trip we made up there, I made a bet on a turf race, and I was standing inside the facility watching a monitor, and they turned for home, and my horse took the lead. And I thought, oh, this is great. And I was just at the top of the steps to walk down and go outside and watch. So I left the monitor and went outside, and I looked up the stretch for probably the first time since I had arrived there and realized, all of a sudden I wasn't as confident because the main track, the turf track is the main track on the outside. It is a super long stretch. And so you look at the monitor and you take the lead. You think, hey, I'm in a great spot. Then you actually step outside and look up the stretch, and I don't know. I have quite a ways to go here. But the turf racing, a lot of fun up there. And again, they do a great job. And so it was nice to see they put up really solid numbers despite the late start this year, which I clearly had to affect horsemen and whatnot, not having the racing there early on, getting a much later start. But good news for them up there. Not so good news down at Laurel, which again was taking a break from racing this week given the surface work. It was a couple of weeks ago. They had some breakdowns, and they took off racing last weekend. They've done it again this weekend, and they've been working on the track. They brought some experts in to look at it, and it seems like, if you remember, they had extra time at Pimlico because they were redoing the track surface at Laurel. The early word was folks were really happy with it, but subsequently it seems like the cold weather had somehow affected the surface a little more as things got into fall and we had some colder weather. So the last couple of weekends, no racing down at Laurel. They're looking to resume on the 16th, this coming Thursday. So we'll keep our fingers crossed for them down there that they do get the work done and get back to racing down at Laurel, because Maryland in the wintertime, a lot of fun, a lot of stakes action down there, a lot of fun. So we hope they're back sooner rather than later. And finally, also wanted to give numbers. Headline again from the Racing Form. Average daily handle up 11.2% at the 2021 Aqueduct Fall Meet. So again, great numbers down there. And I mentioned it yesterday. If you don't realize it, there's an Aqueduct Fall Meet. And this weekend kind of kicked off the winter meet. I said yesterday or the day before when I talked about it, I think it's kind of a throwback to when they actually had the inner track, because I don't quite get why they parse it out like that now. I mean, there was, and it wasn't too long ago, where there was the short aqueduct meet, which then made sense to end because, again, you got into December, they kind of kicked everything over to the inner track, which is a little bit different. So, to have two separate meets kind of made sense. I'm not quite sure why they still hold that over, but they do. And the recently ended Aqueduct 15-day fall meet had some pretty good handle numbers as well. So that's great to hear also. All right, we will wrap it up for a Sunday edition of Racing Across America. I'm Seth Merrill. As always, thanks for joining us. Thanks also to our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship of this and other programs here on the network and some of the events as well. Gulfstream sponsoring us during their championship meet, so we appreciate their support. Also a reminder, Football Sunday here at the Clubhouse Racebook. Come on down, enjoy all the NFL action and all the racing action every Sunday throughout the season. NFL Sundays, Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Again, I'm Seth Merrill. Thanks for joining us. You can join me again in about an hour or so, maybe a little more, a little less than that, depending on when the NIRA pregame show wraps up. I will be back for OTB Live on a Sunday afternoon. We'll give you some ideas. Aqueduct, Gulfstream, Oaklawn, we'll have other racing in the mix as well. Should be a lot of fun. Usually is. Hopefully it's even more fun if we're handing out some some interesting horses. That's going to be the game plan. Tune in later. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.